Thank you, choir. I appreciate the singing this morning. What a joy in my heart to trust in God, to know Him as my personal Savior, to know that one day, and it's not going to be as long as it has been, one day soon, He's going to call and I'm going to answer. What a joy that's going to be in that day. Pastor's already started off the message this morning about thinking, and I'm going to tell you how to think. Controlling how to think. Look into the book of Colossians chapter number 3. Reading quite a bit of scripture this morning, but we'll go somewhere and I'll get done. If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, put to death. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In thee which you also call some time when you lived in them, but now you're also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, and filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we're grateful this day for the opportunity that we have to come today and share the Word of God. We're thankful today for the season of the year that we're in, where time is set aside when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the gift that was given on that day. We're grateful for the gift that was given at Calvary. I pray today, Father, for those that's going through some deep valleys. Pray for those that are discouraged today. Pray that you would bless in our church today. Speak to the hearts of thy people. May we go away from here saying it's been good to be in God's house. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Those of us who are saved needs to be thinking God's thoughts. What does He want me to think? How does He want me to think? And I believe when you're thinking the thoughts of God, I think you're thinking the most powerful thoughts that one can ever think. Our minds up here is what we would call the control tower of our lives. And whatever goes on up here creates something for the rest of the body to act upon. All of our decisions are there. And I'm sure as I'm here this morning, you're thinking about something. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to have for lunch today. Where you're going to go for lunch today. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to give for Christmas or get for Christmas. Some of you are even thinking about next Sunday when we have the fellowship meal out here. And you can see yourself walking around through there filling this plate up until it's rounded out. And I'm going to tell you this, a rounded out plate like this calls out a rounded out body here if you eat too much of it. Amen? And so Proverbs chapter number 4 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what we're thinking about is what controls us. Are our thoughts about God, about His Word, about His church, and about our relationship to Him, our relationship to one another. So what determines what I think and how I control my thoughts? Do my thoughts come from reading the Word of God, or reading some other kind of material? Do our thoughts come from watching a program on TV? Many people are sitting and being programmed by the world, and they're thinking like the world is thinking. So listen carefully, because I want us to be programmed into thinking like God wants us to think. And there are five things I want you to jot down this morning in this message. Number one, fight a battle that you expect to win. That's what those ball clubs was doing last night. They were fighting the battle that they hoped to win. And of course, yes, I was thinking about Georgia and hoping Georgia's going to win. Amen? And then I was hoping Clemson was going to win, and they won. You say you're trying to tell me that you're a Georgia fan and you're a Clemson fan. I'm a Georgia fan first of all, and if Georgia's playing Clemson, I'm still a Georgia fan. Amen. Amen. All right. I believe the average person thinks several thousand thoughts a day. The internet says that a person can think somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 thoughts a day. This brain here won't do it. It'll overload. But I looked this up and it says the National Science Foundation says that the average person thinks somewhere between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. So according to them, 75% of everything, listen, 75% of everything that you think is really negative. I didn't say that now. I've got that. I don't know how much the internet can be trusted, but that's the Science Foundation of the world. What about if I could read your mind right now? Well, let's turn that around. What about if you could read my mind right now? Some of the things that you would see or hear or think about, you might like. Other things you might not like. But did you realize, I'm glad, God knows right now what's on your mind. He knows exactly what you're thinking at this moment. No one likes to lose a battle. Nobody likes to lose a ball game. No team in competition, whatever they're doing, they don't like to lose in that. Most people can remember who's in first place, but most people don't remember who's in second place or third place or somewhere there. But your greatest battle can be fought, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, when you put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Number 2, replace the secret pictures in your museum of the mind. I've probably mentioned this before, but several years ago, Mary and I went on a trip with another church group to Alaska. And they decided there on a Sunday morning, they asked me, being a pastor, they said, would you give us a message for us on Sunday morning? And I don't know why, but several weeks before we went on this trip, I stuck a little clipping in my Bible that I was working on concerning the matter of the museum of the mind. And of course, I didn't have anything else that morning, and so that's what I got up and I spoke on the museum of the mind. I reminded them that on this trip, you're going to see things. You're going to experience things, and you're going to hang those pictures in the hallway of the museum of your mind, and you're going to be reminded of them every once in a while. Just this past week, I was sitting watching a program on the TV, and this guy is standing on a little hillside above Hyder, Alaska, looking out over the Salmon Glacier. He was standing in the same footprints that I'd stood in years before. So while he was standing there looking out over that big glacier that is there, where do you suppose my mind went? my mind went back to there, and I remember I'd had some problems with heights, this place was up kind of high, and I remember my wife hollering out, "He's not afraid of heights anymore." But I was. I was. And so here we are, and we're looking at things. And when that happens, when things like this happens, we walk down the hallway, and in the hallway on each side of this museum, you've got pictures. Maybe you've got pictures of a birth of a child, or you've got pictures of a mother or a dad or a sister or a brother, something that is hanging on that hallway there, and you go by and you see that and you think about that, and there's really nothing that is wrong with that. But some of you, before you were saved, hung a picture in your museum of the mind that doesn't need to be there. It's still there. You need to get rid of it. And about the time you think you can get it down off the wall and do something with it, it appears again. Who do you suppose is bringing that up into your mind? Satan is good at that. I walked down the museum of my mind, and I recall the moments that I have enjoyed. I see things that are happening in the museum of my mind, and I rejoice in that. And so sometimes this happens too. Have you ever been walking down the museum of your mind and you see somebody, and this somebody that you saw upset you some time ago or did something bad to you some time ago, what do you immediately remember about that person? You go back to that day when they upset you. And if you're not careful, you can get upset again. I remember years ago, I was walking down the streets in Clarksville, Georgia. And I saw a guy turn the corner up there. And when I saw this guy turn the corner, I remembered this guy and what this guy had done and how he had not spoken to me for several years because of what he had done and what he had said. Well, you know me. I saw him cut the other way, went across from the red light over to the other side of the street. And so I slipped between the cars, and I slipped out on the other side. And here he's coming down through there, and he's looking in the store window. And I walked in, and I said, "Hey, you, brother." I thought we was going to have a heart attack. But I did get a few things ironed out. And after I got it ironed out, I was not upset like I once did. So I kindly hung that picture in the background. I no longer. And I get along with him fine now. When I see him, I get along fine. So, if you're not careful, you can get in a situation where you need to change the pictures of your thoughts. Now, I'm not a mind reader. Sometimes I'll mention something, though, at the house, and my wife will say, "I was just thinking about that." She'll say, I say, "Boy, I'd like to have an ice cream. I just thinking about that." "Well, get us one." Or something else. This happened some time ago. And the reason of this message, my daughter bought me a little book on Father's Day. And in this little book, it says, "Dad, I want to hear your story." And each morning when I get here, I sit down and I try to write a line or two in there concerning my growing up years. And my growing up years, I'm rediscovering some pictures of my mind. She says, "I want to know what you wanted to be when you grew up." Well, I wanted to be Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and I didn't want to be Trigger. And then, you know, I went to the movie one time, and I watched I watched Flash Gordon and Superman, and my memory took me back. I went home after watching Superman and borrowed my grandmother's bed sheet and went to the barn, tied it around my neck like a cloak, and you can't fly. Out of the barn loft I came. That thing didn't work. So I need to take that picture down. That don't work anymore. But I've been going through several things there. And the other day I saw a thing on the internet concerning a lady that's a news anchor in one of the TV programs, and she signed a contract for $9 million a year. Plus $3 million at the end of the year if she doesn't mess up. Well, now, where I went to school, that tells me she's making about $1 million a month. And the devil comes along and says, you've been preaching for over 50 years and you ain't made $1 million yet. Well, I've been telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. She's been telling people about the world, what's going on there, and half the time she's missed it. But the other day I noticed she refused the $12 million and now she's going to open up her own program. I says, lady, you don't know what you're talking about. So you get her mind on something. It's easy for the devil to get inside our minds and cause us to think the wrong things. Romans 13 and 14 says, here put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make opportunities for the flesh in order that you might lust after whatever it is that you're lusting after. Ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden a billboard, you know they've got those flashing billboards now, it changes every so many seconds. You ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden on the billboard something comes up and there it is, a big juicy strawberry milkshake right in front of you. You can taste it. Probably a Chick-fil-A one too. And I have no connection to Chick-fil-A. I'll go by there and tell them I advertise for them. Can I get a free meal? Won't get it. And I say, boy, that'd be good. And if my wife's with me, I'll say, where did they say that was at? How far down the road do I need to go in order that I might enjoy this milkshake? Why are billboards installed anyhow? They are installed to get your attention, to get people to crave stuff, to buy stuff. Some of you know I go to the doctor every 3 months. That's just part of life now. But I go every 3 months, I go to the doctor. I already know in my mind what they're going to do. So when I get out of my vehicle, I reach down in my pocket. I take them things out because they weigh half pounds. I reach on down in there and I take out my pocket knife. I reach in here and I've got these things. I've got an inhaler. I've got my heart medicine. I leave every bit of that in the seat of my car. Why do you suppose I leave that in my car? Because the first thing they're going to do is what? They're going to weigh me. And I want to weigh just as least I can. Because they say, you know, they weigh me and then they carry me on back and they take my blood pressure and then they check my oxygen and all these kind of things. And then, of course, the nurse comes in and she says something like this. She says, well, she says, your blood pressure is up. Your weight's up. Your pulse and your oxygen's all right. And I say to her, I used to say it's white coat syndrome, but they don't wear white anymore, so I can't use that excuse. So here we are, and I say in my mind, And sometimes I say to the nurse, you know, I've got on some heavy shoes. And I've got on some extra clothes. What am I doing? I'm making an excuse for that 3 or 4 or 5 pounds, whatever it is that I've gained, or why my blood pressure is up, or why my sugar is up. I get up every morning, I check my sugar. Why is my sugar up? And something reminds me of those Reese's peanut butter cups that I ate before I went to bed last night. Number 3, give the Holy Spirit its most effective weapon. Memorize passages of Scripture. Let no corrupt communication come out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Really bothers me when I hear somebody say they're a Christian and yet they bring out some 3 and 4 letter words. That bothers me. You don't get salt water and fresh water out of the same fountain. So this passage is teaching us that we should only speak what is good and helpful in order that it might build others up. And our words should be words that give encouragement. Psalms 119, verse number 9 through 11. It begins by asking a question. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? And then the answer to that is in the same verse, and it says, by taking heed thereunto according to the word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How many has problems memorizing Scripture? We all do. We all do. So it's important to read the Word of God. I try to do that every morning. I don't try to read a whole chapter maybe, but just a few verses that I need at that moment. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Take the Scriptures and learn how, as you're walking down your museum there in the hallway, maybe hang some Scriptures on this side and on this side, and nothing can defeat the devil any better than when you can quote Scripture back to him concerning what he is trying to get you to do. Kind of like the guy that had been in jail for stealing chickens. And one night after dark, he was walking along beside a chicken house, and he said, Lord, says, we need help here. It's not so much me as it is the chickens. How can I conquer these thoughts? How can I conquer these thoughts? The Bible talks about there in 2 Corinthians that I read to you. It talks about being a reprobate. What is a reprobate? Who is a reprobate? It's a person that says, this is what I'm going to be. And I don't care what God thinks about it. This is what I want to be. And that's the reason our world is in such a mess that it is in today. It's simply for the reason people have said in their minds, this is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be like this. How many of you young men, just be honest with me now, how many of you young men, as you were growing up, wanted to be just like your dad or your grandfather? Anybody? Most of us want to be somewhat like them. Well, I got to following in my dad's footsteps. What was wrong with dad's footsteps? Not good. I got where I could pull up to the Rebel beer joint and order just like he did. I wanted to smoke cigarettes just like him, but I couldn't hack that. That was a problem. I was hacking. I even tried rabbit tobacco. Y'all know what that is. Psalms 139 says, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Remember some time ago we did a series on War Room. Remember the lady that was struggling with some things, and you remember where she went? So, three things right quickly here. Set aside a specific time to examine your own life. Find a place where you can be alone with God, just like she did. And maybe in that room, she had verses up on the wall. And she went there and she fought her battles in that war room concerning things that was going on in her life and how that things happened that she didn't want to happen, but they had. Be specific about what it is and allow the Holy Spirit of God to open your eyes and cleanse your mind of whatever it is you're thinking or wherever you're thinking about doing or going and things like that. And then when God brings these things to your mind, confess them, and He will do this through the Word or through His Holy Spirit, and you can write them down on the billboard and know that God has cleansed you. He says if you confess your sins, and He's faith and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Ask Him. He's not afraid to do what He needs to do. Amen. Last of all, there are many battles to be fought in our lifetime. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Number one, visit the orphans. Number two, the widows in their afflictions. And keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does it mean to keep yourself unspotted from the world? Keep yourself in a situation so that the worldly people cannot criticize you for doing something wrong. I've been preaching 52 years and I can go out of this building today and go into a restaurant or go to some place and I can ruin everything that I've done for 52 years in a matter of seconds. Let me give you these things and always remember this and I'll be done. The past can't be changed. That's the problem I have when I go back to high school reunions. The past. They cannot see me as a changed individual who no longer is like that we used to be. Yeah, I've done everything like a young boy's done. Yeah. I've been caught for drag racing. Yes. I've been drug into the jail. Yes. I've been fined a big money. Yes. They took my driver's license away from me and wouldn't let me have them. They put me to walking, and I've done all of that kind of thing. Yes, I've got out. I've gotten in trouble just like anybody else have, but I've cleared up my museum there, and I no longer want to go that route. Past can't be changed. Opinions don't define reality. Are you upset because somebody thinks something about you that maybe you don't like? We shouldn't have let opinions control us. Everybody's journey's different. Ask a dozen people the same question and what are you going to get? Amen, preacher. You're going to get a dozen different answers. What they have as far as opinions or answers, do they line up really who you are? Overthinking can lead to sadness. Overthinking can affect your mental health. You know, sometimes doctors say a lot of our sickness is because of what we think. And a doctor experimented one time concerning the matter, and he's giving his patients sugar pills, and they was getting better. The only thing I know, well, if you give me sugar pills, my blood sugar is going to be higher. Overthinking can hinder you from making the right choices. Overthinking can hinder a good night's sleep. You ever went to bed with something on your mind and you toss and you turn and you toss and you turn and you turn and you toss? You get up and you lay back down and you toss and you turn again. What are you doing? You're overthinking. I can go to bed and say, God, let me dream some good things tonight, or let me think some good things, and I'll dream and think the worst things I've ever done. Happiness is found within. Happiness does not come from material things. I had to find that out the hard way. I thought happiness was having a new car to drive down the street where everybody could look at you and say, oh, look what he's driving. Oh, you know, pretty yellow Dodge Dart with a 273 hypo in that thing, straight shift, slicks on the back. What for? Not to run in snow, are they? No. Your thoughts affect your mood. You ever go into the office and they say, what's wrong with you today? Nothing. Oh, yeah, they are. What's going on? Your expression is saying to somebody else, something's going on. Come on, you need to tell me what's going on. Things will get better. And you tell them what it is and it got worse. Kindness is free. Doesn't cost any money. Be in fact, kind to somebody is actually a gift that you can give back. I was sitting at a funeral this week and a lady came in and sat down beside me. And I said, hello, how you doing? Which was maybe not a good question, but anyhow, I begin to get the, how you doing? I didn't want to upset. I didn't upset. So I just spoke kindly. And when it was all over with and everything, she stood up, she says, thank you for listening. She just needed somebody to listen to. I used to enjoy doing that, going to the doctor, but no more can you go to the doctor, because when you go into the doctor, everybody's got their cell phone out and they're sitting there and they're texting. As I said before, I saw a man and his wife in a restaurant and they were texting one another and they were sitting across the thing from one another. Time has a way of getting better. Christmas time, Jerry. I miss Mom and Dad. I remember one Christmas, Mom worked so hard. And I wanted a fire truck for Christmas. And I didn't think I'd get it. But I got it. And I went out and played with that fire truck. And when I went, Mama called me for supper. And I went in for supper. And I left my fire truck out there and my playpen. And when I come back out, the little boy down the street had stole my fire truck. He was down there playing with it. So I sat there and watched him. And I watched him. And I watched him. And he went in the house for something, and I got my fire truck back. Don't look at me so holy and pious. You'd have done the same thing, wouldn't you? Pray with me. Father, thank you that you're a God of love. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you that you're a God of light, a God of love, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Father, may we take something away from here this morning. Or better still, Lord, may we leave something here this morning on the altar that we've been struggling with for a long time. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there according to the Scripture. And I pray in a moment as we stand to sing, and I pray, God, that you'll bring things to their mind they need to deal with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We're located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.